Well, good morning, church. It is great to be here with you today. Thank you for being here, whether you're a regular attender or visiting us here for the first time, as well as for those who are online as well. We just have a few short announcements here for this week. The first one coming up here in a week and a half, the Christmas Eve service will be here from 4 to 5 p.m. 4 to 5 p.m., Christmas Eve service. Please be there. It'll be a great time. Secondly, we also need volunteers who are able to run slides for Sunday mornings as well as for special events. So if you have any interest in that and you'd like to serve in that particular way, please see Pastor Forrest for more information on that. As well as, please join us for our foundations class here every Sunday. It'll be in the Fellowship Hall? Room 202. That's right. Be room 202 at 9:30 a.m., be a great place to learn some of the basics of theology. I learned some of the things. This morning we're going to be talking about Christ, Him coming and Him being both God and man. A really interesting concept, really important for us in our faith. So if you'd like to learn more outside of the Sunday sermons, please be sure to join us at 9:30 a.m. there. And finally, on the back side of your bulletin, you can find a few different ways to give, whether in person or online. You might notice there that there's a verse attached on there on the bulletin. If you don't have one, it's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, which talks about giving from a cheerful heart, not out of obligation. And that's truly what our giving should be. We're giving to the Lord to honor Him with what we have. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You for the opportunity for us to join together in our worship of You. We just pray that it would be pleasing to You. And Lord, please sanctify us and everything that we do. Lord, we just thank You, and we pray this all in Your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Good morning, church. Let's stand and worship together.
Advent is the season. Advent is the season of reflection, of reflective preparation for the celebration of the first coming of Christ at Christmas and the expectant return of Christ at his second coming. It's a tradition that began in early 19th century Europe and has been widely practiced by believers around the world to this day. The third candle, which we will light today, reminds us of the joy we have in Jesus. We have complete joy even in the face of our trials because our faith is being tested and proven genuine. The end of this faith is the salvation of our souls. Matthew 2:9-11. After hearing the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went ahead of them until it came to a stop over the place where the Christ child was to be found. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after they came into the house, they saw the child with his mom, Mary, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when lo, above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed this Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is Amen. shall come to thee, O Israel. Shall come to thee, O Israel.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us this place to gather. Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning. And if we're not in tune with you, that we would tune our hearts and open our hearts to receive what you have. I pray that you would be with Forrest as he brings forth your word, and that we would make you the center of everything that we're doing right now. We want to get caught up in this season, but we would remember that it's all about you, God. And somehow, some way, we would make you the forefront of all the things we're doing. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Wonderful to see you this morning. I don't know what happened to our video. That's a cool video. It was really cool if it kept going, but they didn't have a way for it to keep going. So, I don't know if you noticed, but we have some new lights. Have you seen the lights? Have you seen them? Yeah. You see the lights back here? Those are on loan. But we have some other lights that are on the roof. I know for some of you I'm saying that word wrong, but that's okay. So we have some Christmas lights on the roof, and I got to tell you the story how this happened, and it applies. So this past couple of weeks ago, we had a heating unit, four heaters that needed some work done to them, and it was going to be pretty expensive, and we couldn't do it the whole way, so we had kind of patched it up a little bit, and so we got a new HVAC guy in to help us with that. And he came in and he fixed it all up and we had our heater working, which was fine, which was great. And we're super appreciative for that. And he began to hear a little bit of our story, where we're at, the challenges that we have financially right now with this big, huge building and all of that. So he got a little bit sympathetic with that. And so he offered, he said, would you guys like me to put Christmas lights on your building? And, you know, we said, sure, we'd love that, but we don't have the money. We just finished telling you we don't have money. He says, no. I'm going to do it for free. And we said, okay, that'd be wonderful. So what he did, for no charge to us, is he put Christmas lights around the roof of the building. So if you haven't seen it yet at night, it's incredible. It's probably a little bigger deal than I thought it was going to be. So if I'd have known it was going to be that big of a deal, I might have said no. But it's really very pretty. So if you get a chance at night sometime, drive by the church, it's really pretty. But what has happened is some people who have seen it, they've come over to the church and just said, man, those lights look amazing. And they're super excited about the lights that have been put on the building. And so what has happened is that this gentleman, this man, his work, which was of no cost to us, gave us a lot of joy. And this man's work, this man's sacrifice, this man's giving of himself, which was of no cost to us, brought us a lot of joy. And this really is the story of Christmas. The story of Christmas where God sent Christ down to earth to pay the penalty for the sins of those who would believe. And that sacrifice cost those who received it nothing. But yet they get the joy out of it. And it's really a pretty fantastic thing if you ever stop and think about the process from what Jesus was willing to do into today. It's something that creates joy. Now, the problem for us and the problem for many people in our world is that, and many people in our culture, is that they are in various stages of rebellion towards God. They are in various stages of rebellion. There are some people who know what they should do. They know they should be relating to the God. They don't want to. And so they want to do their own thing. And so some people are living in that time period where they're just doing whatever they think is right. There are other people who are in a different stage of rebellion, and there's people who have been living that way for so long, the idea of coming to God and saying, hey God, I want to do things differently, is very difficult for them to do. Because they've lived a certain way so long, they're hardened to that idea. It's really hard for them to say, hey, I was wrong. And so they just keep going with what they're doing. There are a lot of people who are in a stage in their life, in their stage of rebellion, where they have lived so long away from the way that God has said to live that they're now starting to experience the consequences of their decision, and they're stuck. They feel like everything is falling apart, their relationships, their career, their whatever it might be, and so they're stuck. And so humanity is in general, those who do not believe, who are in a state of rebellion, they are not looking at their lives with a sense of joy. And the reality is they can't have the joy because the answer to the joy is what they're rebelling against. And so this morning, what I want us to do is I want us to start to think about how can humanity experience joy? How can the people that we know, our friends, our family members, our acquaintances, the people we work with, the people we go to school with, how can those people experience joy? Especially those people who are living in a state of rebellion against God right now. How can they experience joy? And for some of us, we may be in a time period in our own lives where we are going through a time of rebellion as well. Where we have wandered away from where the Lord has us, wants us to be. We've wandered away from that relationship with God that we know we need to have. And so we've wandered away, and so we're not experiencing joy in our life. And so the idea is, how do we experience joy if that is true of us? How can humanity experience real joy? And we're going to come up with that, or this morning we're going to answer that question from the book of Isaiah. So if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. And we're going to be in chapter 9. So what we're doing with this series is we're going through some of the prophecies in the book of Isaiah that are talked about specifically about Jesus. And I just want to remind you that these prophecies, specifically about Jesus, were uttered by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was human born. And the reason that that's significant is many people will flip through the pages of the Bible and will walk away saying that this book is just the ideas of humans. And one of the things that prophecy that's been fulfilled does is prophecy negates that. If a prophecy was fulfilled before it could have ever been, a human mind could have ever come up with it, and then it's fulfilled, it's kind of hard to go back and say, yeah, that was some guy thinking. It doesn't make sense. So that's why I want to highlight for you or emphasize that these prophecies were spoken by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before the human birth of Jesus. 700 years. So there's no way Isaiah could have known in and of himself about what was to happen. But nevertheless, the Lord was speaking through Isaiah about what would happen. And that's how we can know and rely upon these prophecies. So we're going to be in chapter 9. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. And this specific section, although it applies to most of Isaiah, is being written to the people of Israel who at this stage are in a rebellious state. They are in rebellion towards God. They are not doing the things that God has told them to do. And God has already told them, just so you know, you're going into exile. You're going into a difficult spot. I'm taking away, as I told you I would, I'm taking away the promised land because you are in rebellion. And so they're looking forward, or they're looking ahead in their future to a time period where they're going to be going into exile. And Isaiah tells them, you can still have joy in the midst of those circumstances. And here's how you can do it. So Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 is what we're going to read today. And if you're using those pew Bibles today, we're going to be on page 573. That'll maybe help you find that. And Isaiah is going to explain that they can still have joy because God is going to be born to them. And we'll talk about what it means for God to become a man, to become fully God and fully man. We're going to talk about that. It's an incredible concept. But then he'll go on to explain that joy comes when we understand peace without an end. And then when we understand righteousness forevermore. And this message here specifically, and I want to be clear, this message here specifically is to the people of Israel in rebellion. But there are some principles that we can glean for our own lives. And so what I'm hoping to do is I take you through this message that was given to these people in rebellion about how even in the midst of exile and the difficulties of their life, they can still experience joy. We can take those principles and apply them to our lives. And depending on how we do this, what we're going to do at the end is we're going to conclude singing the Christmas carol, Joy to the World. And my hope is, and what I want to achieve by that is, when we, I want us to see as we're looking at this joy that people can have in the midst of their circumstances, I want us to gain a new appreciation for what it means to have joy, to have real joy. And then as we sing this carol, Joy to the World, a new appreciation for what it means to wish joy upon the people around us. To what it means to wish joy upon the culture in which we live. But first of all, we've got to talk about how can humanity experience real joy. The first thing we see in this passage is going to be from verse 6. So humanity can experience real joy when they understand God born to us. Verse 6 says this, "For a child will be born to us." So this is the part of this is a prophecy about which we know now is Jesus fulfilled. It says, "For a child will be born to us, humans." So this is indicating that this child which is going to be born is going to be a human. He's going to be fully man. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us." Not only is this child going to be born to us, but it's going to be given to humanity. It is not an accident. This is not something that just happened by chance. This was a part of God's plan. It was His plan to give this Son to humanity. And many people look back at the story of Jesus and think, well, Jesus was a good guy. That was great. But his life was a part of history, was happenstance. And that's not what happened. This was a part of God's plan from the very beginning. And He was given to us, to humanity. The next part of verse 6 is this, "And the government will rest on His shoulders." The government here in the context is talking about the reign of the Davidic king that's promised, been promised in Isaiah, that Jesus will come back and reign on the earth. And when He reigns in the new heaven, I'm sorry, the new heavens and the new earth, He will reign forever. And He will reign like David within the line of the Davidic king. And He's talking about this government. "And the government will rest on His shoulders," meaning on Jesus' shoulders. "And His name will be called." Now there are four names given here for Jesus, four terms that are given for Jesus. And the idea here is that these names are not being given to Jesus because He expects people to call them by those names. Those names are given to Jesus because they indicate who He is going to be and what He's going to do. And so the four descriptions are this. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. He'll be called Wonderful or Gracious or Highly Exalted Counselor. He will speak to men. He will speak to humanity. And He will give them advice. He will help them make plans for their lives. He will be a Wonderful Counselor. He will be Mighty God. And the indication here, the terminology Mighty God, is saying that this man, this boy that's going to be born to us, is going to be God. Which is a hard concept for us to understand. It was hard for these guys to understand. And it's still, even though I've studied it for these many years, it's still hard to wrap my mind around. But somehow this person who is human, 100% human, was still going to be 100% human. God. And that is what this person was going to be. He was going to be Mighty God, Eternal Father. So it's not saying that He will be called Father like God the Father is, but it's talking about His preeminence. He has always existed, and He is the originator of life, which we know that from John, 1 John, and from Genesis, that Jesus is the initiator of life. He is the eternal Father, and He is the Prince of Peace. He will bring peace to the world, not our world, but that promised world. He will bring peace to that world. Those are the four of the many things that this Jesus will do. And the part that is really hammered here is that He will be born to humanity. He will be a man, but He will also be God. And that's what we celebrate at this Christmas season, that the Lord was willing to come as a baby and be a man. It's a tough concept to think about. Jesus is fully God and took on Himself being fully man. It's a hard thing to grapple with. Similar to, if you will, the lights. When I the lights on the roof, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, that's a great idea. That'd be cool. That'd be great to have lights on the building. And when I thought about it, I was thinking like the times I've put lights on the house. And so I just thought it was going to be a really neat thing to do, whatever. And then I drove by on Friday morning and I saw the enormous roof line that this church has and these lights that wrapped all around. And I thought, whoa, that is impressive. Like, I didn't realize our roof was as big as it is. It's an impressive sight. And oftentimes, that's kind of the idea. As we walk through our lives, and a lot of our friends and our family, they walk through life the same way, where you understand, yeah, lights on the roof. Yeah, it's great. But we don't really understand the magnitude of what that is. And when it comes to Jesus becoming man, a lot of times we don't grasp the magnitude of what that really entails. I want you to think for a minute. Before Jesus became man, Jesus was infinite. Do anything, go anywhere. He had no boundaries. And He squeezed Himself into a little tiny baby. Now, I think there's a little bit of poetic there. Like, Jesus could have come as a big man, but he's a... You don't understand. I have power beyond what you can understand. I'm going to squeeze myself in this little tiny baby, which is huge. But wait, there's more. As Jesus grew and became a full-size man, He allowed humanity to kill Him and crucify Him, and He was raised again on the third day with a new body. He will live in that new body for eternity with us. I've been to Bible college, I've been to seminary, and I never understood this until this week. Jesus was willing to become a man for eternity. Now, His body is the new body. It's the one that all believers will have someday. It's an eternal body. But He was willing to restrict Himself to that for us, because He loved us. If the baby thing doesn't get you, that has to get you. That has to blow your mind, that the Lord loved us that much, that He was willing for all eternity to be in a human body for us. And if you understand that, that will give you joy. Yeah, it was joyful that the guy put the lights on the roof. But it's so much more incredibly joyful for us that the God of the universe was willing to take on being a man because He loved us. So how can humanity, how can the people around us experience real joy? Understanding God born to us. But he goes on from there and he says more. The second thing we see, and this is in verse 7, is that joy is understanding peace without end. Peace without end. And it's difficult for us to comprehend the idea of something that has no end. It's just something that's difficult for us, but let's see if we can try to understand it here in the first part of verse 7. It says, there will be no end. They're talking about this government that will be established. There will be no end. And here's what there will be no end to. To the increase of His government, this government that will rule over the new heavens and the new earth with Jesus on the throne, There will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace. This one is hard. In our culture, we are so inundated with all these areas that are in fighting, people fighting, countries fighting with each other. Conflict seems like the norm. How can there be an environment where there is peace? And there's peace forever. It's hard for us to grasp. He'll be on the throne of David. Again, this is going to be a fulfillment of a prophecy. And over his kingdom. This kingdom will never end. And that is hard. I understand it's hard for us to grasp the idea that there is something that doesn't end. On Friday morning, when I pulled into the parking lot and I saw the lights, I was really impressed. I was like, wow, that's amazing. There's a lot of lights and they're all wrapped around this roof here. And I instantly thought, I have no idea why, but in my mind I thought, I wonder if they're all attached. I wonder if there's an end to the lights. Like, why does a person think that? I don't know. But then I thought, I wonder where he plugged those lights in. Right? I don't know. If you've ever put up lights, you got to be careful. It's important where you plug them in, because where you'll end up. We always think in terms of beginning and end. It's incredibly difficult to think of something that lasts forever. We don't see anything that lasts forever now. So it's hard for us to conceptualize living in the new heavens and the new earth, and peace will never end. But that's the promise here. The promise for those that will believe is that there will be peace for eternity. This may help you begin to kind of to be able to embrace this concept. You can say this. I want to challenge you to start saying this next time you're tempted to worry about something. Next time you're in a situation where you're feeling like this is something is bad or something to worry about, here's what I want to challenge you to do. Next time you're in that situation, say something like this. Believers will never have to worry about that in the new heavens and the new earth. So next time you're looking up your bank account and you're realizing, oh, there's a lot less money in there than I thought. Stop and figure out a way to fix it, but say to yourself, believers will never have to worry about that in the new heavens and the new earth. You get an angry email from someone or an angry phone call from someone in your family or someone in your life who's just relational tension, and you're like, ah, this is not good. You get worried about it. Stop and just say this. Remind yourself, believers will never have to worry about this in the new heavens and the new earth. The whole point of that is encouraging you to say that to yourself. The whole point of encouraging you to come up with that in your mind, the whole point of that is to say this, that in the new heavens and the new earth, believers will live forever in peace. There will be no conflict, and it will never end. So how can humanity experience real joy? First of all, they need to see and understand what it means that God was born to us. Second of all, peace without end. Understand that in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be peace without end. And then the last one is righteousness forevermore. The last part of verse 7 says this: to establish it and uphold it, speaking of this government, this eternal way of living, he will to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness. Government, the word government is kind of a bad word today. In all across the country, it's not just in, or all across the world, not just in America, people have this negative feeling towards government because people often feel like government is not righteous and is not just. Governments are often, and for good reason, governments often do what's best for certain people but not best for other people. This government that Jesus sets up will be just. It will be righteous. And it won't just be for a short time. It says this: from then on and forevermore. and concludes with the promise of this: the zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. The desire of the Lord of heaven's armies will make sure this happens. And it's hard for us because we think, boy, how can this happen? There's been so much chaos. There's been so much that's happened now. How can God bring in to the new heavens and the new earth justice and righteousness forever? How does he do that? And here's how we know that from verse 6. The God who's willing to take the infinite God and put him into a tiny little baby is the God who has the power to make this government not only righteous and just forever, but he has the ability to make that government peaceful. He has the ability to do all of that. One of the drawbacks to doing lights like we've done this year is the expectation about next year. I'll tell you, when I drove up, the first thing I saw, how many of you have seen the lights yet? Have you seen them? Okay, I don't know if you think they're cool, but they're amazing. So as I was driving up, I'm like, wow, that's impressive. And the next thing I thought was, oh, nuts. What are we going to do next year? You know, we don't know if this guy's going to do it. And all the neighbors and everybody that drives by looks at them because it's really neat. So everybody looks at it. And all the neighbors around here are going to be like, okay, what are you guys going to do next year? You know, you got to up this. What's the next thing you're going to do? And you get that worry in your mind. And it's hard for us to, when we think about the future and what the Lord is going to do for us, it's hard to conceptualize and understand that. How can it be perfect right off the bat with never increasing, never worrying? And so how can a person understand real joy? It's so hard for us to understand it. It's so hard for us to articulate it and to put it into our mind. How can we do that? It's understanding that in the future there will be a government that's purely righteous and purely just. The promise of that coming kingdom, the promise of that peace, that the promise of that righteousness is made to people who are believers. For men and women who are born at any time in history, for them to, they don't just get that because they're born. They have to come to a place in their life where they believe. They have to come to a place in their life where they say, I believe what Jesus did applies to me and my sins can be forgiven. And this promise of this wonderful future is a promise out to those who are believers. For those who have walked through their lives and have come to the place where they realize just how much the Lord loves them and realize that their sin is a problem that is keeping them from God. But yet Jesus paid the penalty for their sin. And if they would just believe by faith in what Jesus did, they can have forgiveness of sins and enter into an intimate relationship with God. For those people who have done that and have become a believer, for them, these promises all apply. But for those who have not embraced that or who are in various stages of rebellion towards God, these promises don't hold true. They're not for them. And the reality is that's part of the reason why people in our culture don't have joy right now. Because they don't have the promises that we see here in the book of Isaiah. So how can humanity experience real joy? The primary thing is they've got to become a believer. Enter into an intimate relationship with God. And once they do that, then they can understand or begin to process what it means that God was willing to become a man. And then they'll be able to understand the promise of peace without end, righteousness forevermore, once they have an intimate relationship with him. I wasn't super excited about the lights initially. When I got the phone call that Jeremy had offered to do these lights for us, I wasn't super excited about it. It was great. I was like, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it. That would be wonderful. But I didn't really think about it because I had no perception of what that was like. I didn't understand like what it was going to be, so I said, yeah, sure, that'd be fun, whatever. Then when I saw them, I began to understand the magnitude of what it was. I began to understand, oh, wow, this is what this is. This is really cool. But before I understood that, it was easy for me to dismissive about it. And for humanity, not just for us, but for the people around us, we need to appreciate the fact that hearing that Jesus became a man and hearing that there's promise forever, those are hard things for people to grasp because they can't see it. It's difficult to be able to say, oh, that's what that is. It's just hard. It's hard to conceptualize what does it mean to live forever in righteousness. What does it mean to live forever in peace? And the one thing that we can help people see is that the promise is something that the part of this promise that has already been fulfilled was that God became a man. And if we can help people begin to understand the magnitude of what Jesus did, then they can begin to understand the magnitude of what God has done for them. It is very difficult to tell people, if you become a believer, you will be able to experience righteousness forever. Like, what does that mean? How does that look? They don't know. You will be able to have peace for all eternity. Okay, it sounds great, but I don't get it. But if you can help people begin to understand that God was willing to become a man, a situation that we can look back and prove in history that it happened. If you can help people see that, then they will have an understanding of what joy is. So this morning, I'm going to ask, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask the Alex to come back up, and we are going to sing Joy to the World again. And what am I challenging, or how I want to use this as a challenge for us is that in the coming weeks, as you hear this song played on the radio, or as you hear it, as you hear people singing this song, Joy to the World, or even if you sing it here at church, or maybe the song is bouncing around in your head and you're thinking about the song in your own head, I want you to really understand the joy to the world. The joy was the fact that the infinite God was willing to become a baby to save us from our sins. And if we grasp just how enormously huge that is, that will give us joy, and it'll give people around us reason to have joy as well.
Together. With truth and grace.
and make the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love and wonders of His love and
for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come together with other folks that are on their journey with you. Thank you for the opportunity to be reminded of what you are willing to do for us. And Lord, I pray that as we go out this week, you would help us to find ways to creatively share joy to the world. Help us to understand that. Help us to appreciate what it means that you were willing to become human to save us from our sins. And help us to have enthusiasm and joy as we share that with our friends and neighbors. We love you and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Have a good week. See you next week.